how's it gonna look when I reach out to people that I haven't really thought about reaching out to before?
Oh.
I'm looking for general guidelines to get me going here and get
okay.
the brain.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Carrie, of course, can throw more in there than I can in that realm, but to give you examples of what we do, our big event, the biggest event that draws a crowd, we feed about 600 to 700 college kids every year on a welcome back picnic. We feed them real food, not just a quick hamburger that's been grilled and brought up. We cook it on site. We cook hamburger and chicken and then a lot of other fixings, and we become well known on campus for the one ministry that does the welcome back picnic at that level. So that's one of our big events. And then from there, it's just constantly trying to think of things that reaches them in their world throughout the year, trying to do things that the focus is on trying to get their attention. And once you get their attention, then the funnel process takes over, as Carrie talked about. So it's just being innovative, and I guess a lot of what Carrie talked about listening to their music, about going to MTV, and when you hear... Get somebody near you that's their age, because we're not, and hear, put an ear to, what is it they're listening to? What are they talking about? What's going on? When this joke they shared that I didn't get, what were they talking about? And get people their age to fill you in and help you catch up. Anybody else want to address that?
I would say that one of the things that we realized whenever we were talking about just reaching students and looking outward is that, and this is going to sound really strange at first, but like at our big events that we do, like the Root Beer Kegger or the Napoleon Dynamite Nights and things like that that we do, we don't do anything religious whatsoever. We don't have a lesson. We don't have, we don't do any of that. We let them know we're a campus ministry and we're here to serve the students, but we don't do anything really that's... that would make them uncomfortable at that point. We let them know that we're there, and we really talk to our students and make sure our students and emphasize to our students that your purpose here is not to have fun at this event. Your purpose is to get involved in a relationship with these people, and you take them to that next spiritual level. You know, that's not what this event is specifically designed to do. It's designed to develop relationships and let them know we're here to serve them, to let them know that there's a campus ministry here. And then we use our students to take it deeper and take it to that next level of the funnel.
I think one thing that you talked about, what does it look like if you have an inwardly focused ministry as opposed to an outwardly focused ministry? Before you see baptisms, you have to see the word being shared with those individuals. You know, we want to have massive baptisms, many baptisms with few seeds being sown. So at some point, you've got to connect with that individual. And before you can have, you know, for you in a small campus ministry, have a big event, it's really tough. But the truth is, and this is liberating for all of you guys, both in campus ministry and traditional church settings, nobody can stop you from developing people. You know, I was at two churches before we started Greater Alton. Both of them in some ways restrictive, but in both of those situations, I studied with people who became Christians and are now in full-time ministry. In both of those churches, that had never happened before. Because the great news is that God empowered us as individuals to share his truth. So you become the model. So you connect with somebody, you share your faith with them, you develop that relationship, and through that process you can begin to have incredible things happen. So at some point, one of the major differences is that instead of talking about, you know, what's happening in the daily paper, you're going to find yourself talking with somebody about Jesus Christ and what it means to be a follower. And I would encourage you, as you study with them, you know, not to make we have several ladies. I saw my daughter's going to be having a baby here in September. It takes 9 months. It's there. And sometimes we want to have a spiritual birth in like 30 seconds, you know. It's like, you know, we're looking for the eunuch. It goes, hey, you know, we meet him the first day. Want to come to Moly and Dynamite? Yeah, but I'd really rather be baptized. You know, that doesn't happen a whole lot. But so understand that when in the development of this ministry that you're involved in now, you are now, with this change of heart, it is essential that you understand that this is what biblical Christianity is. This is Christ-likeness. So in creating the convert, they've got to share that same attitude. So from the very beginning, teach them the new mentality, the Christ-like mentality of ministry. Because if you don't, you'll perpetuate this same old thing. At Greater Alton, I know 1 year we had 113 baptisms, and that year I baptized, I think, 2 people. That's it, and only studied with about 4 or 5. And it wasn't that Carrie didn't study with baptize many more than that, but because in our paradigm, from the very beginning, there's a training process that goes on initially. one of the guys now that helps with our recovery ministry. When we first started studying the Bible with him, I had him here, and I said, Jim, you know, we're going to study the Bible, and you may be wondering why Tim's here. Well, Tim's here because while I'm helping you learn about what it means to have a relationship with Christ, Tim's here to help you to help learn how to help somebody have that relationship with Christ. And I said, Jim, you may not be able to grasp this now, but someday you'll be sitting, Tim will be where I'm at, and you'll be here. And then someday you'll be here and somebody new will be here. Within 3 months, he set up a study with one of the guys that was on the deck with the guy that spent $200,000 in cocaine. Without me telling Jim, he sets the study up, he is there, and he has his notepad, and he's starting to take notes because he knows his role is to write these scriptures down, the points down, and give them to the guy. That's how he learns better. So you're recreating that ministry from the beginning. So make sure that you incorporate what you want to be in the new disciples, or you just perpetuate the same old moronic, and I'm not trying to be rude, system that we've had to where, you know, you got 150 people looking to you, and there's nothing wrong with them looking to you as a trainer. I'm very much last night, you know, that I believe God uses a man. I don't think that in any way differentiate the fact that you have a team. You know, LeBron James is on a team. He couldn't win without him, but he's the clear leader on that. So Your job is ultimately a trainer, an equipper. That's your role. As you're still a team member, so I think that's just important. At some point, it means sharing scripture.
There's a very different way to approach the change from babysitter to going out and actively seeking the lost. If you're in a congregation where the elders, their understanding of campus ministry is keep the saved saved. Okay, you might need to repent because you're not being evangelistic, but you don't go to them and say, you know, you narrow-minded, small, planning, you know, illiterate Christian. In my early campus ministry, you know, a lot of our work was with the Gainesville and then the Crossroad, et cetera, and a large portion of my converts went with the Boston group, partly because we got so fed up with leaders who would do nothing that we let them know, you're a do-nothing person. The way to begin moving good men who want to do right, and maybe they read John 17 where Jesus prayed that, you know, none of those people would be lost. Like Lynn said, you know, keeping the saved is a good thing, but the way to do it is to find these spiritual men who want to do right and love God, even though they haven't got the experience that some of these guys have. They don't know how, but they would do it if they knew. And if you could let them know without shaming them, if you could say, I am so proud that you want to do what Jesus taught in John 17 and keep the saved saved. And because you are of this mentality, we want to teach these kids to reach the lost because we know that that's the only way to keep them saved. So what we're going to do, elders, is we're going to get on your boat, you know, and follow your leadership into keeping them saved, saved, because we know the Bible teaches that the way to do it is to be evangelistic, and you are the elders who keep saying, be biblical. Thank you for your good ideas. And what we did earlier, and where we call such a split, was we got sick and tired of do-nothing, boardroom leadership that did nothing but make decisions about how to spend the money, and we let them know. You're not coming? We're leaving you. And we did. And that's part of the reason we're rebuilding. And it's one of the best suggestions I could ever give a young campus minister is meet on a regular basis with the shepherds and value their comments, okay, and pray with them and let them know in word and deed that you value their thoughts and you value their love for the Lord, and you can even value people. You know, I can't condemn a man for being today where I was yesterday. You know, and who am I to doubt the motives of a struggler? And so, man, these guys are just on a good track.
I started thinking about some of the things we did in the beginning when there were only a few of us, and that brought my mind back to where it may help a little bit. One of the things we did monthly, we would go out on campus and put up a sign. I got Pepsi as a partner. They would make me a banner if I let them put their name on it. So I said, put your name on it. And they put our name on it, and we'd put up this banner, and we would just give something away. It may be Cokes one time. It may be, ice cream sundaes the next time. It may be a bag of candy at Halloween. Just
yeah, I can't believe Pepsi let you give out Cokes.
Well, believe it or not, we did. They wouldn't give us the Pepsi, so we bought Coke. No. But we did that for about 3 years, and it helped us with, there was no, as he said, there was never, we didn't give them a brochure, we didn't give them who our ministry was other than it was already on the sign, and if they ask, why are you doing this? So we just want to serve the community. We're here to serve you students, and that's why we're doing it. It brought their attention to who we were, and that we were not there to beat them over the head with a Bible. We save that for later when they ask questions.
One thing I would add also is for me growing up, I was always very visual. My parents, my dad would say something to me, and I'd go, huh? But if he showed me, I always caught it. I would encourage anybody that if you want to see, you know, Lynn, and I know Carrie also is very receptive, and I'm sure there are other ministries. If you can arrange to go and see how things are functioning, just following around for a day or two or 3 days, you can learn a lot in a short period of time. Just to have the sort of, you know, the description, you know, that's there, you get to see. I can describe an elephant to you. But, an armadillo, you know, I'm thinking. But, when you see it, there's a completely new perspective, okay? So I would suggest, you know, you talk with Lynn or Carrie or somebody else who's having an effective that's reaching students and say, okay, what do you do? Could I come follow you around for a couple of days or 3 days?
Just to add to that, I know I'm not on the forum, but I got to add to that. I got a microphone in my hand, so I can.
You're on the forum.
Make sure he qualified it. Make sure it's somebody that's being effective, because part of Lynn's presentation was about, you know, how he went to a campus ministry that was not effective and modeled that, and you saw the results. So I would just like to emphasize that, if I could. And I'll shut up now.
For a minute, anyway.
No, you won't.
Don't lie to us, Wes. Let me give you another perspective from what's happened with Outreach America. One of the things our student steering committee, see, we're basically student-run here and organized, and they came up with at the end of this last year saying, you know, we got a problem. Here we're trying to build teams and get people to go out and plant churches, and they've never committed their lives to the Lord. And so here in a Christian college, we made a decision to go back to square one this coming year and lead people to Christ, and that'll be the beginning. Parts of it, just who is Christ? Where did he come from? What is he? What's your relationship? And then go down the line building that. So if you already have Bible classes set up, regear your information, regear what you're doing in classes, and go back to the call of Christ, who he is and what he's asking from you, and what your relationship is, and what is salvation, and what is the command of Christ with that, and what does discipleship really look like with it. Now that's where we're going. I don't know your situation, but that was kind of a big nut to chew there, to bite off, with just to say, wow, we're a Christian college and all these kids are coming from Christian churches and Christian homes and stuff, and to come to a realization, a good percentage of them are coming from churches that never really taught them what Christ was. So back square one with it.
I don't want to leave prayer out of this, by the way, because prayer is hugely essential. He said, if you ask me, I'll give it to you. I think our failure has been in asking.